and welcome to Happy Horror Time. My name is Tim Murdoch, and I'm here with...
Who are you here with?
Nobody.
And my name is Matt Emmert, and we are so happy to be your hosts of Happy Horror Time.
Yay!
Wait, you actually already introduced it, but I just thought I would give it a second shot, Tim.
Oh, he's stealing my job.
Oh, so anyway, we're here today. We are gathered here to discuss... Well, Tim, before we get into movies, how's life?
Oh my gosh, so many changes.
Are you going to say the P word?
Nope.
What word?
Pizza. People. Pizza. People.
I was waiting for, so, you know, the pandemic.
I'm not going to do that. But you know what? Looking back on it, it's like a time capsule. We'll want to know what we were doing in March 2021.
It is funny because in March 2020, I can tell you one thing we weren't doing.
Going to the roller skating rink?
Oh, no. I was going to say this podcast.
Because
we were doing it so infrequently before we did our relaunch on Halloween. Halloween will be our anniversary of
That's
the relaunch.
Right. Halloween Kills starring Kyle Richards. Go on.
Only Kyle Richards.
No
there's,
one else.
There's nobody
no one
else.
And I wasn't singing. I wasn't singing.
Halloween Kills starring Kyle Richards and no one else.
That's right.
Anyway, yeah, we actually, it would be a good time capsule to talk about that. But I have some news, Tim. You already know this, but
you're pregnant.
I'm pregnant. And Jacob and I are moving into a house.
Bragger.
Which is cool because we're going to try to, we have more space, so we're going to try to set up like a room for recording so we don't have to record on my couch anymore.
I really enjoy your couch and, you know, I'm very, very happy for you. But I will say I've spent a year in your house. I mean,
locked
your apartment.
Up.
Locked up. You guys would never let me leave and
you were like...
Threw things like food
guys,
in the corner.
We would give him just a couple slices of bread. That's all Tim needs. And, you know, we let him out for podcasting. That's all.
I know. You were like, you can watch this movie, but you have to talk about it. And then back in the cage.
Well, you say, I love it. You're like, but I've spent 4 years in this place, but it's time. It's time.
I'm going
to
miss it.
Because the last year, Jacob has been living here, and it is a lot for a one bedroom. Jacob and little guy are kitty, so two people and a cat in one bedroom in a one bedroom apartment is a little much.
You guys made it work. I mean, as someone who just came and left, you know, like you had a routine that I think worked for you guys.
Well, we also, because it's one bedroom, there's like space to be away from each other when we need it, but not a lot of space. And this house has a backyard and like two bedrooms and one and a half
my
bath.
House does too.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. I live in a house. Go on.
Yeah. But you've got a roommate.
Ooh.
Well, it's funny because Tim has only one roommate, but an extra bedroom, which they've turned into a gym nicely.
Right, and I've used it like three times.
Well, hey, you know what? That is three more times than zero.
I'm just
you
not.
Know what? It's so funny. You know, I do Peloton workouts and they always start with, they're like, you know what? You've taken the hardest step, which is just showing up.
It's
I was like,
true.
I'm like, bitch.
It is true.
That's
because
not
you
the
know
hard.
What? I mean, I'm not proud of my pandemic pounds.
Ooh, a lot of P's. Good alliteration.
Thank you. I have more.
Okay.
That's it. I'm
oh,
just kidding.
Yeah, you're not proud of your... But look, we've all been through a lot. Workout routines have been a little bit different.
Ooh,
so you
got to
give yourself a break. You got to give
you.
Yourself a break. Like Kit Kat. Give me a break, but don't sing it.
I'm not going to sing it, but I do. If Kit Kat's listening, I would like one for free.
That's so funny. Didn't you post? So it was like two episodes
cookies.
Ago. We posted about because we said so much good stuff about Cheryl's cookies. And didn't you tweet them?
I tweeted them.
Because, no response.
Let me just say this.
Thanks, Cheryl.
Thanks, Cheryl. I don't know if she's. I don't know the history of Cheryl's cookies, but whatever it is, I really enjoy the cookies. And you know, I thought they'd have like 4 million followers.
What they?
4,000.
Wow, Cheryl's. But here's the thing. Like, I haven't heard that many promotions for them lately, and we gave them a big shout out, and they couldn't even tweet us back. I'm still going to order their cookies.
I love that our whole mission for our podcast now is just to get free cookies.
Are you kidding? I would love free cookies.
That's
from
all I want.
I've been a customer of Cheryl's for as long as I can remember. And the thing is that it's not like they're that. Okay, I don't even want to go into Cheryl's.
Yeah. Thank you, Cheryl. I love your cookies.
We're giving Cheryl too much time. So, right. You know, but what we can get into is the movies we watch.
Yay,
and
film.
You know, very interesting movies. As you probably know from hearing this podcast, we try to mix it up. Even though we're all horror, we try to take like sometimes
these are horror films.
Yeah, well, they are. But I was going to say sometimes we do slasher, sometimes we do supernatural, sometimes we do horror comedy, sometimes we do just bizarre as fuck. Like, you know, and these are two very different movies. And the first one that we're going to start with, it's not horror as you would think horror. It's more dark comedy slash thriller, and it's called
Happily.
Happily, not happy.
You said dark, dark.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was dark, dark.
Really? Just one dark?
Just one dark.
Just one. I mean, it's called dark. It says a killer romantic comedy. So, I mean, they.
Oh, I get, yeah.
It's definitely, I consider it horror because it has very dark themes to it.
Like relationships.
Well, yes. Well, so, okay, let's set the scene because you definitely need it to understand this movie. First off, it stars hottie Joel McHale.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I know we could do a whole 2 hours on just Joel McHale's body, but I'm going to make it really brief right now here in the beginning. Joel McHale's body is so amazing, and he's like, what, 50? Soon to be 50?
Yes, we looked it up, and I think he's 50 this year or next year. 50, almost 50. 49.
If for no reason you watch this movie, just tune in for Joel McHale's body.
He is built incredibly. Like, it's a perfect body. My favorite is there's one line in the movie where one of the guys at the house says, "Nice tits, bro," because he has such, like, developed pecs. But when I found out he was almost 50, not only does he not look 50, his body doesn't look 50. Everything about him doesn't sound. But it's so funny. I never looked at Joel McHale as hot until this movie.
I know that he did like one shirtless scene in Community and it broke the internet. Move over, really? Kim K.
He has one of those, I guess, like unassuming bodies that you don't know. You don't understand how nice it is until he takes the shirt off.
Like Dennis Quaid.
No, Randy Quaid. I think.
Oh, I mean, yes, Randy Quaid, Dennis Quaid.
If I'm going to think sexy, it's Randy Quaid. Definitely.
Oh my gosh! And totally. National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Mm.
Oh, that and every part about those short shorts and those weird, like, backwoods type whatever.
Ew.
Yucks.
Okay, we got sidetracked.
Anyway, okay, we did get sidetracked because of Joel McHale. But so this movie it starts with it's Joel McHale and his wife, who is played by an actress named Carrie Bechet, which I've seen before. I just don't know what she's been in.
I remembered her from you know what I don't remember? Go on.
It was that memorable. Tim remembers her from
That's right. When I do background work once in a blue moon. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed.
No, it's good. It's great.
But I was holding lettuce in a kitchen, and she was the actress on the show. And the scene she was in, and she has a ridiculous amount of dialogue. So I think it was like 10 pages.
Well, she was in Argo, I just looked up, which was a big movie. Yeah, so, but she's been in a lot. But anyway, so Joel McHale and Carrie Bechet, they play a married couple, and it starts where they're like at this party, and they like catch each other's eyes, and then like meet in the bathroom and have sex. And you're like, wow, like they're a hot couple at their prime. And then like their friends start talking about, because someone calls it out and say, no, actually they've been married for 14 years and they're just annoyingly still into each other.
Right, which by the way, I could see why everyone would be annoyed by that, because relationships, like the honeymoon phase is like, what, a year?
Well, it's definitely not 14 years. And it's definitely not 14 years after marriage, because let's say they were together a few years. But you're right. It's not that it's a bad thing. It's just that it's more like everyone is bitter and they take it out on this couple.
This movie really does embrace bitterness in people.
It's so funny. It should be called Bitter.
It really should be called Bittered or Bittered.
I think I actually think it's called Happily as like a play on that. But anyway, so we get to, you find out like Joel McHale and Carrie Bechet are like this perfect couple. They never argue. They have sex all the time. They're so supportive.
They make
of
each other omelets.
There's everything is like seemingly perfect to the point that their friends are so tired of them that they like disinvite them from a weekend getaway.
Oh, and Paul Scheer, I can't remember his name in the movie, but Paul Scheer, the actor, his name was Val.
Yeah, and I think his wife was.
She was the biggest bitch.
I can't even remember what her name is, but she, she played Paul Scheer's wife.
Right.
And
so
she was totally,
they're
like,
not
blunt.
A happy couple at all. And they invite him to dinner, and then they just slide over like an envelope of money, like returning their money because they're going to an Airbnb for the weekend. And they just have no interest in them being there.
And they're just like, look, we got to be honest with you. You like annoy all of us. And they're like, does everyone feel that way? They're like, yes. So meaning like all their couple friends just do not want any part of them. But anyway, we get to a point where the couple randomly gets a knock on the door from the guy who played Milton in Office Space. I think his name is Is it
Milton?
No, I think it is.
He has a while you're looking that up. Yeah. He's got a briefcase with two vaccines in them. I'm making this very timely.
I don't think they
they're shots.
Vaccine. Yeah. I was like,
there's shots with some green liquid in it. And it says like, if you get these shots, you're going to be like everybody else, which is angry, bitter couple.
But he makes it sound like he's some like weird, almost like he doesn't really tell them why they need to have these shots, but basically explains that there's like a defect in them, which again opens up so many questions. Like, are they robots? Are they created by something? And they need to have these shots so they can be like everyone else. And they're like, wait, what? No, we don't accept this. And he's like, you have to.
So,
and
yeah. Joe McHale like steps away for like 2 seconds. And while he steps away, his wife takes like an
I thought you were like almost like an exoskeleton. I was like, wow, Tim.
Wait, I know. It's an X.
Literally the letters XO.
Yes.
It's a big paperweight thing.
Yeah, they're hideous.
Yeah, smashes the guy. By the way, I found his name. It's Steven Root, who played Milton in Office Space. Thank He's the guy God. Who gives them
the
shots.
Know.
Oh, research. Yeah. Yeah, she slams it over his head and Blood. They think they killed him. And they're like, oh my God, we just killed a guy. What are we going to do? And they decide what anybody should do if they accidentally kill someone. Bury him in the desert and don't tell anyone.
Which, by the way, good idea, I guess. But I love that they're like so sweet. They like look up on the internet, like Google, like how to bury
get
a body,
rid of a
how
body.
To get rid of a body.
Yeah, I know.
Because they're that innocent and that sweet.
I know. I mean, but that's where it takes a turn, though, because they're that innocent and sweet. But they killed this guy. But at the same time, he did come into their house and basically say, you either take this shot or, you know, whatever, face the consequences. So they get rid of the body, but then later the wife keeps thinking she's seeing him out there. Like she thinks, oh my God, is he still alive? Or is he coming after us? So they basically realize we have to get out of our house, and where can we go to get away from everything? Let's just go back to the Airbnb where our friends were going, even though we got disinvited, because let's do it. Well, actually, they do get a call from the friend getting reinvited.
Right. And we find out that they were reinvited because the couple's poor.
The couple wanted extra money to pay for the place.
And she's really, really, really sweet. And her husband's a real...
Well, who? We got to tell who. There's other... So there's four... I think there's four couples.
There's a lesbian couple.
There's a lesbian couple.
A very bitter couple. And then Paul Scheer and Val.
So there's, yeah, there's...
Oh, wait, there's one more.
Yeah, there's four couples. There's the lesbian couple. There is Brecken Meyer and his, I think it's his fiancée, who's played by Charlene Yee, who I've definitely seen before.
Yes.
Then there's the couple with Paul Scheer and the woman, we still don't know her name, but she's the mega bitch. I think it's actually Natalie Zia as Karen. And then there's one more couple, the only like sort of nice girl in it, which is Natalie Morales and her husband, John Daly, who plays Donald, who don't they call him like Don Don during it or what? They keep giving him dumb nicknames. Remember, they're like, we're going to give you nicknames for the weekend. Yeah.
Where was I? I mean, I was sitting there watching.
They totally
it.
Were calling him Don Don.
That's
yeah.
crazy.
So all of the couples, most of the people are just treating Joel McHale and Carrie Bechet like shit. And
the only
nice person is Natalie Morales
to them. But we find out her reason was because she had no money.
Well, a lot of stuff goes down. Like, first, basically, Joel McHale and Carrie Bechet are totally paranoid that this guy that they killed is still coming after them, and they end up telling all their friends the story.
Wait, well, before, when they first arrive, she gives them a tour of the house, and there's a gun room.
Yes, this
which
Airbnb.
Which I was like, this is going to come into play, right?
Yo, the Airbnb is definitely not your normal one. It's a beautiful house, but
actually,
it has a gun room.
It is beautiful, but like I feel like that would be a house right here in West Hollywood, right? Like,
I mean, maybe the Hollywood Hills.
Okay.
I don't know about
West
Hollywood.
I thought it was beautiful inside, but I didn't think it was that...
I mean, it was huge.
It was huge. But I'm saying, like, I feel like as a dog walker, I've seen this house. I don't want to brag about my dog walking status right now.
Sorry, everyone who lives in a one-bedroom apartment. Tim has seen... Just kidding, though.
Listen, well, I can't help it if I
so
live
you,
in a
you
huge
walk dogs
house.
For only the rich and famous?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You're like,
I don't want to
say any names.
I don't want to say
Kyle Richards.
Kyle Richards.
I wish.
You owe me a Coke.
That's
Cherry
amazing.
Coke.
I wish you totally did. That'd be so amazing. But back to the Airbnb with the gun room.
Yes.
You're right. So, but we get to Joel McHale and Carrie Bechet end up telling all their friends the story. What I loved about that part is that all the friends, like, believe them. Like, they're
no one really questioned it.
And nobody's asking the questions that I'm asking. Like, my first question when I saw this was, what do you mean they have a defect? What does that mean for, like, humanity? You know what I mean? It's like, were they created? Is this, like... What, like, is this the guy from Office Space he represent? God? Like, those are all my questions. Right, they're right. Just like, oh, are we safe?
And spoiler alert, I mean, I'm jumping right to the... I'm not going right to the end, but... Oh, how do we... Okay.
What?
I was just going to say, like, spoiler alert, like, this movie does raise a lot of questions, and you think it's headed for somewhere, like, that you haven't seen before.
Well, it definitely goes in a direction it's not, because it's not, like, pure thriller. Like, basically...
They all decide to stay in the house overnight, and they're going to... Why do they stay? They all, like, lock themselves in the room.
Yeah, they figured that they have security there, and they're fine, and whatever, blah, 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 blah. But then, like, you start seeing different things going on. Like, you're wondering, like, there's more to each one of these relationships than you know. Like, the relationships...
More than meets the eye.
Exactly. And then one thing is the bitchy woman, Karen, which she is how appropriate the name is Karen.
She has the hots for Joel McHale, even though she's married.
And she keeps trying to get him to cheat on his wife with her. And overnight, he...
It happens.
Well, but he wakes up and he realizes that someone has injected him with that stuff.
In the butt.
Because they brought the stuff with them, which, I don't know why, get rid of that. Like,
well,
whatever
that
the stuff
that
was.
That was strange.
And Joel McHale thinks he ends up having sex with the woman, cheating on his wife, which is totally different than his perfect
and
existence.
Because the house is so high tech, his wife wakes up and she sees it on a monitor, which, I mean, that's got to be tough.
Yes, and that was tough. But, of course, like, the next morning, like, he thinks maybe it's because he got injected and he, you know, lost whatever made him perfectly into his wife. They don't know. And then I think she says she didn't end up actually injecting him, right?
Oh, yeah, she goes, she made him think he was injected? Or
yeah.
What was
it was
the
something like
that.
Or no, I think she got rid of the stuff and then made him think he got injected. Because
right.
She didn't want to take the chance. Like, who's going to inject someone with some random thing?
She could have killed him.
Exactly. Also, I feel like, and I'll wait to say this, but maybe I won't. I feel like the injections are just... I feel like it was placebo. Like, I don't think they're anything. Yeah. It was just in your mind.
I
like,
totally agree.
Because anyway, we keep moving forward to, like, they're trying to get out of the house and whatever, and they are finally realize they're not able to leave.
They get in their cars and, like, the gate will not open. So they all go back in, and somehow it's set up where there's all the red chairs in a circle.
Well, what you find out is that Steven Root, the Office Space guy, he's not dead and he's there. And he says, you all need to sit down in a circle. And I think they're all just, like, in shock that this guy, they don't know who he is, they don't know what he is, and realizing that every one of them has, they're like, you will leave, you can leave if you all sit in a circle and have a talk. And basically,
just like the show starring Sharon Osbourne,
The Talk. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, Sharon Osbourne! Wow, pick a controversial topic.
We're not talking.
I don't watch it. I have no comment.
I'm just saying, lately, The Talk. But the crazy part is,
there's been a talk about The Talk.
But they ain't talking.
There's something they ain't talking on The Talk. If
you know what they're
I'm
like,
saying.
Hey, you know the name of our show? We're not.
It's
doing
It's not happening. You know, because someone should have kept their mouth shut.
Right.
If you know what I'm saying? Okay, that's it.
Don't get political.
Okay, done.
God.
Anyway, so they all sitting around and literally. You're like, is this some weird forced intervention? Like, what is the point of this? Who is Steven
Root? Like, is it supernatural? Yeah. Like, what's happening?
But it all gets down to they all start admitting secrets and realizing basically they're all lying scumbags.
They're all horrible
and
people.
And let's just go to the first. Okay, so you have Joel McHale and Carrie Bechet, and already Joel McHale cheated on his wife the night before with someone. So, but moving on, you get to that woman and her husband. You find out Paul Scheer is actually gay.
Right, and his wife is a bitch, and she's cheated on him twice.
Twice, but he's gay and been having an affair with his sous chef,
right.
A man, and everyone knew about it and didn't say anything.
And she cheated with one of the lesbian couples.
Then, yes, you find out that she, not only did she sleep with Joel McHale, she had sex with one of the women in the same-sex couple. Her partner had no idea, so she lied and had sex with one of her friends.
And then the most revealing was Breckenmeyer and his fiance. Apparently
he's abusive, and he's been beating her up, and she has bruises. And you're like, wow. And Breckenmeyer, up until this point, you're probably thinking, that's a big name. He maybe has 3-4 lines total in the movie.
I wonder what the... Maybe his scenes were cut. I don't know.
Or maybe he just... I think they just wanted his presence there. I'm just saying, he's a name.
I wanted a presence.
I think it was also, you know him as such a fun-loving, comedic guy. So to have him play, like, the quiet, abusive boyfriend is a stretch. So,
yeah. So, I mean, and I don't want to say it came out of left field because, I mean, I guess this was... a revealing circle of trust.
But what's the funniest part is after they all just like it reveal these horrible lies they've all been keeping. Oh, and Natalie Morales and John Daly, the couple that got the Airbnb, admit that they actually got it for free but took their friend's money anyway.
Well, you know, desperate times.
No, that is just so like the worst. But anyway, they all are revealing these horrible things about each other. And then basically Stephen Root says, okay, you're all free to go.
And which the, and then the gate opens so they can all drive out.
And they all drive out, but you're sitting here, like, they all leave, and I'm thinking, like, wow, these are all horrible people, and they all should not be friends, because they all lie to each other and stuff like that.
And here's where the gun comes into play.
Oh.
The girl that's getting abused by Breckenmeyer, she, like, he stops to go to the bathroom.
Because he has to pee on the side of the road.
Which everyone does.
Of course.
And she takes out the gun and blows him away.
She literally, and it's so matter-of-factly, they're getting a ride from Paul Scheer and Natalie Zia as a couple. Breckenmeyer goes out to pee, and then she just literally just goes out of her car, walks up behind him, shoots him in the head, comes back in the car, and they say, did you just kill Richard? And she says, yes. And they're like, okay, well, we have another friend we can introduce you to. No one cares.
She's already playing matchmaker. Like, we've got other options for you.
It is hilarious. Like, they just, nobody cares. Nobody, it matters. But then a weird, end.
It's kind of the whole tone of the movie.
Well, that's what I want to get to. Because the very end, you're thinking every relationship is done because they've all been lying and cheating. But the very ending of this movie, as each couple is driving away, and at first they look all angry, then they kind of like a few minutes go by, and then they just kind of smile and go back to holding hands, and you realize they're all just going to forgive each other and be okay with it.
And I think the movie has a message, like they're saying there's no such thing as happily ever after, but there is such thing as lying to yourself to be happy.
Wow, that's the most profound I've heard you in a while.
Really?
That's great. I think you hit it on the head. No, 100%. Kudos. Like that, I think it's exactly what it is. There's no perfect happiness in relationships.
I mean, all my relationships were perfect.
Oh, of course. Except for Tim. But but what I think the movie's trying to say is that we all deal, or we all have a threshold.
We're all settling.
We all have a threshold for the amount of, I guess, like bullshit and lies and stuff we can take. And a lot of us end up taking a lot more than I think we would think we would. Like, meaning from an outsider, it's easy to watch these couples and say they're horrible, they should break up. But you never know. A lot of couples stay together through hardship, and there's no perfect relationship, and a lot of people just deal with it.
The relationship that I'm not in will be perfect.
The one you're not in?
Right.
With yourself.
I had a year, you know, to find myself.
God, back to Tim and his fucking relationships, or lack thereof, let's be honest.
I can't give people the COVID-19.
Exactly. The 19. Can you give them the 18?
Of course.
Well, no, but I mean, looking back on this movie, it's such a weird movie, but yeah, it has like...
I loved the music in it. I loved all the actors in it. I mean, like, the movie has a lot going for it. I just wish it was driving towards the finish line of this a big reveal, and it just kind of, it ended with, I don't want to say a whimper, but it just ended with, I get they're still happily, and they ended up having sex in their car. That's great.
Well, Joel McHale and Carrie Bechet at the very end, like, she forgives him, and they end up having sex in your car, and you're like, they're going to go back to their, like, quasi-perfect existence. What's that from, Tim? Do you have any tips for Scream 2?
Scream 2.
Do you have any tips for getting back to a semi-quasi-perfect existence?
During Neve Campbell.
No, I think I kind of agree with you. Look, I actually didn't love this movie. I thought it was good. Like you said, the performances were good. It was interesting. It was different.
It was stylish. It had a lot of style.
It's definitely not horror. I'd say it's like dark comedy. Sort of hitting you over the head with its moral, you know, it's funny, it's called Happily and no one's really happy. You're right. There wasn't. I thought there'd be a little more suspense, like it, when they're.
When you have a gun room.
Well, also, I thought that the Steven Root character, you'd find out more about who he is and where he came from, but maybe they didn't even need to do that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they didn't need to make the point. Like, trying to explain that would have taken too long. They just wanted to show that everybody's lying, everybody deals with stuff, and everybody just stays in their relationships.
The end. What's our next movie?
But it's sort of like that, you know?
No, yeah. I just appreciated Joel McHale shirtless.
Like, let's be honest, Joel McHale. I mean, there's a lot, no nudity, but Joel McHale
like,
is
shirtless. Like,
if he was
not the star of the movie, I don't know if I'd be interested.
It's such a perfect star, though, because he's known as, like, a comedian, but he also has, like, a sort of different side to him, so, like, he can play. Like, I think it was perfect casting for both of them.
I want to marry him.
Well, I think he's straight, but...
You know what? I've got some
work
to
do. Never stopped you before, am I right?
Well, actually, it has.
I know. You're like, actually, you're like, now you're bringing, you're opening you're, a wound.
I mean,
you
know,
much.
With all those times I threw myself at those straight men. Just kidding.
No,
I have
no,
it.
That's I know.
I don't bark up that tree.
Yeah, you don't bark up any tree, do you? Because you're not a dog.
Right. I'm a human. Thank you.
But, yeah, so, I mean, it was interesting. I don't know how to say... I don't know if I'd recommend it. I just think it was interesting and different. So if you're looking for like a dark but sort of like fun-ish movie, it's just different, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, no, and that's why I think I liked it because it had – it was so – I just thought it was a cool movie.
It is cool. Like, I guess that's a good way of
– I mean, I didn't love it.
Like,
so
I don't
lame.
Know
it's
if
cool.
I'd watch it again sometime, but maybe who knows?
I would.
To see
sure.
Well, you probably put Joel McHale on repeat of his
shirtless.
Listen,
it might be my screensaver.
Nice tits, bro. That's okay. And with that, we should move on to the second
okay,
movie,
now,
which I feel like we say this
Woo,
every time, like these movies couldn't have been any different. But so there's a movie that we heard about that looked kind of interesting by the trailer called Come True. And it looked like it was like about a girl having nightmares and she's doing a sleep study and it looks like it's going to be like creepy. I was like, is this like
I thought
Friday
it was like
I mean, Nightmare
the second
on Elm Street?
Coming of a Nightmare on Elm Street. I really was, I got excited. I was like,
the
ooh,
trailer
this
made
stylish.
It. I can't believe I said Friday the Nightmare on Elm Street. Of course, I know the difference.
I don't think you do.
But I've been really focused on Friday the 13th lately because,
why is
you
that?
Know, I don't know. But I think because the last couple interviews that we've released have been Friday the 13th rated.
True,
so
true.
I've been like Friday the 13th everything. But this we totally thought was going to be Nightmare on Elm Street related. And
it's adjacent.
If adjacent means like around the corner and 2 miles down. No. So talk about stylized. Let's talk about
this movie.
This movie
is all stylized. It actually could be a music video.
I mean, it's 100%. The main girl. So it stars a teenage girl. She's 18, though.
But in real life, she's 24.
Yeah, her name is Julia Sarah Stone, but she plays Sarah.
That is such a star name, by
right,
the way.
Julia Sarah Stone, JSS. And right away, you can tell she's like... not sleeping at home. There's something going on with her and her mom. She's like sleeping in the park everywhere and she finds a sleep, but she's having these nightmares. And when they do the nightmares,
it's like, it goes through like a tunnel.
It's like you're on a ride
in
the nightmare.
It's like a figure of a tall, skinny man.
Well, it always leads to, every nightmare leads to this like dark, tall, skinny man with glowing eyes.
Yeah.
It always stops right before he does anything scary.
Right. So it's like, I don't know. Is that computer generated? I don't know.
Oh, definitely. No, what they did is they were like, hey, casting call. Are you a tall, completely
creepy man,
shadowy guy with glowing eyes? Because we got a role for you.
Right. Like I auditioned.
Oh, well, I mean, you got the creepy down. You got the creepy down.
They said,
no.
Yeah. And I cried.
They said glowing eyes. No, but Tim's right. It's like it's a weird CGI-ish dream, but every time it like takes you on this like you're just proceeding through this tunnel to this man. You don't know what it is. She finds a sleep study and she mostly enrolls because she needs like a place to sleep.
It was 2 months, right? Was it 2 weeks or 2 months?
Who knows?
But
I felt like the movie was 2 months long.
Really? I thought it was kind of fast.
Oh, really?
But I mean, I remember looking at you and I was like, oh, well, that takes care of her homeless problem.
It was as fast as a tortoise, Tim. No, no. Look, the movie starts and it's promising because
no, it is,
you think you're like, you know, when they present these creepy dreams or nightmares, you think it's going to lead to something.
Yeah. And so and there's also the subplot. Yeah, subplot. Yeah. It's like, why is she not going into her home? Why does she run into her home and grab some
stuff?
Oh,
you never find out.
You never find out.
Nothing. She see her watching her mom and she doesn't want to go inside. She only goes inside her house when her mom's not there. Something
and then you're
happened.
Like, where's
you don't
the
know.
Dad? You're like, you have questions.
Exactly. But so getting to the sleep study, she, is wondering, like, what the sleep study is for. And, like, after the first night, like, you see the doctors, like, watching it, and they see something that they really like about, like, her in the results. And they actually try to show her these pictures that are really blurry and hard to decipher. But the very last one looks sort of like a shadowy version of that creepy man she sees in her dreams.
And so she has such a reaction to, like, her anxiety, and she's like, you better tell me why I had such a reaction.
Well, we get to the subplot. There's a guy on the, we didn't mention him yet, who's working on the study, that first we meet as someone who's, like, following her and her friend around.
Which is weird, because, like, they go to a bookstore and a movie, and then she's like, that's weird.
And it's a guy, very cute, nerdy guy.
Cute.
His name is Landon LeBoyron. He was in, if you guys ever watched that, what's it called? The
Riverdale?
No, it's
he's on Riverdale.
No, what? He was on Riverdale?
I saw Riverdale on there.
I mean, I watch Riverdale and I didn't know that. You know what I'm saying?
Wait,
he was
am I
on
right?
Hemlock Grove, and he was also on Degrassi.
Thought Degrassi was
he
Riverdale.
He was never on Riverdale. I take offense. I watched that show and I would know. But anyway, he's very cute. His name is, he's 29, Landon LeBoyron, but he plays like a sleep doctor who has some weird interest in her, and she finally, after he has, she's threatening to quit the sleep study, and she says she needs to know what it's about.
So he breaks down and tells her that, if you put this thing on your head, you can see it visually.
You can not just see, basically this thing on your head makes, you can see whatever is in the person's mind. So meaning, when you're awake, you can see what the person
sees.
I'm
glad no one can see what's going on in my mind.
I mean, when you're awake, you just see what the person sees, but when they're asleep, you can actually see what they're dreaming in very blurry, like 1980s computer-ish, like graphic.
It totally looks like a Commodore 64.
Totally. It's like, it's just like, it's so funny because everything is like, I felt like I, even with my glass on, like squinting to try to see what these damn
cameras could see.
So he tells her that they've been able to see her nightmares, and they're trying to figure out like what it is, right? So at this point I'm thinking like, wow, we're actually going somewhere,
yeah,
right?
I was like, I was getting so excited. I was like, oh my gosh, all of these stories and like everything's going to wrap up in a nice pink bow.
Nope. Instead, you're treated to a bunch of other random, like, vision. I guess, look, I feel like anybody writing a review on this is going to say, like, visually beautiful,
it
stylish.
Is. I would write
it
that.
It is. But again, it feels like a music video. Like, you end up, there's one scene where she sees him and his dreams, and he has a dream of having sex with her, and she can see like very weird visions of it, and apparently that turns her on. So then she goes to him, and they do end up having sex,
right? And okay.
Oh, we do have to mention,
are we talking about
we're
this?
The dick?
Okay.
Yes. Well, of course, we're two gay guys.
No, I mean, because like men are, I wouldn't say we're falling asleep, but we're like, where's this going? But first off, there's a little bit of creepy factor. She's like, well, I'm 18. And it was like the movie had like a red light.
Seriously, at this, up until this point, because she's going to high school, so you have to be at the very end of your senior year to be 18. So, and the doctor, he looks like he's in his late 20s. And so she tells him she's 18, and like literally it's like,
time
to fuck.
It was like the sex scene, first off, it didn't show any of her. It only showed him.
Well, it's so funny because she starts to like freak out, and he gets off of her and moves backward, and he's just standing there like full frontal, hanging out.
Full frontal, y'all.
Now, it is very dark, but it's so funny
we
because
saw it.
You could see it, and the camera even pans down a little bit. Like, first it's sort of cut off, then like literally the cameraman pans down so you can see the full penis.
Matt paused it.
I did pause it because I was like, is that what
we
I think
had to
we
make
see?
Sure we're
of
doing
course,
a podcast. We were,
all
I mean,
professional reasons.
All for research.
Research only.
Let me just say this. I didn't think he was cute. But no, I think he's cute.
Because he saw his dick.
Yes!
I actually thought he was a good-looking guy. You know, he had a nice, flaccid penis, but...
it was in the dark, but...
I actually just respected the fact that they didn't show her and instead showed him, because we're making up for how many, like, 30 years of exploiting women in movies.
Right,
you know?
Like, how... I can maybe name 5 movies where you see a man's dong.
But female frontal nudity, you could probably name 500.
Oh, like 5,000.
You're like, and you've seen all of them.
I've seen all those films.
So the thing is that they have sex, but when they're having sex, like she has this like major panic attack and like They have to take her to the hospital. And then it just gets weirder from there because,
So then they put the thing on her head. She walks, she's sleepwalking.
Well, yeah, she's, well, they kind of break her out of the hospital and he is like trying to see what she's dreaming.
Where's she going?
And she's sleepwalking and he calls his.
Which I will say, that's kind of a cool twist. Like, hey, like, where's she going? I thought that was, I was like, oh my God, if she walks to her home.
At that point, I didn't even know. I was like, are we, like, at this point, I was so confused. Like, is she always dreaming? Is some, like, I was just, I wanted it to head somewhere. And, like, so we're in the ending part portion of it. He calls his coworker from the sleep study, like, and they're walking with her with the thing on her head and, like, watching her dreams. And they're seeing the creepy dark figures with the glowing eyes
into the woods.
All around.
Visually, that was kind of cool. It was, like, the woods and you saw, like, the little bitty eyes. I was like, okay, that's kind of scary.
But they were everywhere. These creepy figures with the glowing eyes are everywhere. And they keep looking around thinking, like, are these in her dream? Are they in real life or whatever?
Oh, so it leads to a cell phone. They pick up the cell phone.
It's hers.
It's hers.
That was lost.
And it swipes right because she's doing Tinder.
100%.
And it, like, all of a sudden she screams and collapses.
Well, but she screams and collapses. But
then she wakes up.
Well, there's one scene we forgot where they suddenly, like, the creepy figures with the glowing eyes are in, like, real life and they pull him and his coworker away and she's the only person, like, left. But then it's going in so many different directions. And then she wakes up and she sees that she's on top of the cute guy and she has clawed his eyes out with her thumbs.
Yeah. And it's all bloody mess. So I guess they just got done having sex. And then she walks into the bathroom. She looks in the mirror.
Well, wait. She looks in the, well, before we even get to that reveal, at this point, I don't know what you were thinking, but I was like, oh my God, have these creepy guys with the glowing eyes in her dreams this whole time been like a metaphor for, like, she accidentally killed this guy she had sex with? Like, I thought maybe everything up until this point had been one dream that she had and she wakes up and really had killed this guy. And I was like, okay, I guess I can accept that. No. There's another reveal. She walks in the bathroom and what happens to him?
She's got fangs. And I was like, lame. I don't care about vampires.
But here's the thing. It's not even that, because you're like, wait, what? So she's a vampire? Then she gets a text on her phone and it says,
you've been in a coma for 20 years.
And we are trying a new technique to reach you. If you can see this, please wake up.
And then it ended, right?
Yeah. So you're sitting there thinking, okay, wait. So the entire movie I watched was a comatose dream?
And she was a vampire?
Or I think that was still just part of the dream. Like, and then she, if she's been in it for 20 years, how old is she? She obviously, she's not 18 because 20 years is more than 18.
She's got a bleached hair job.
So I guess, and I want to know your opinion on this, but, like, my opinion is, other than the movie was crap, is that...
you think it's total crap?
Not total crap, just crap-y. I know it got rated really well on Rotten Tomatoes, but I'm like... I'm tired of saying visually it was beautiful, but I just, but that's not enough for me. Like, I want to entertain the movie and I don't need everything wrapped up in a bow perfectly, but I want to understand what the hell I just watched.
Right. No, I have questions like, why couldn't she go into her home? Why was she homeless?
But if, like, that was all part of a comatose dream, then
why have it?
But that's the thing. And also, was the sleep study part of her dream? Like, so she had an entire life in a coma, or was just part of it coma?
Right.
Or were the dream portions coma? Like, I just don't know
now,
what we watched.
Did she see his penis?
We saw his penis, but did she? Because, I mean, it was inside her.
Oh,
Or after she bludgeoned him, and did she, like, put her thumbs through his eyes? Like, I don't know what was real and what was not. It was very Twin Peaksy.
Yes, and you know, if I knew it was Twin Peaksy, I wouldn't be so, I don't want to say hard on it, but I was just
hard,
like,
on.
Oh my God, you
filthy! Clean it up, Tim.
So it was just Like you said, I thought it was going somewhere. Like both movies that we saw, they were new, original ideas in the beginning, but the endings just did not work.
See, I think Happily was okay in the way it wrapped things up because I got it. Like, I put it together without them handing it to me on a silver platter. This one, not only do I not get it, I'm not sure the filmmakers get it. And I happened to read a couple articles afterwards.
I'm sure whoever made Come True has a theory. And I'm sure if we went to some screening and the director was there, he'd give us like
some long winded, like,
or maybe unless he's a cute gay guy. Look,
there are movies like Hereditary that like leave you with some questions, but you still love them and understand it enough to appreciate it. Then there's this
where.
Are you
gonna sneeze?
No, I was like, I felt like I was going to sneeze and I stopped.
Sorry,
I just this one just left me with like, not just questions, but just like, and also the fangs at the end. Could she have just, after waking up, realizing she killed this guy, got that text that said she was in a coma? Like, what was the fangs? What did that have to do with it?
You know, I was...
She's also a vampire, or... like
I don't ever think in the final frames of a film you should just throw in, like, and a vampire.
I know. Hey, here.
Yeah, like throw anything at the screen, like, oh, I'm a werewolf.
But that's the thing. I mean, you know how any movie can make up anything as long as it's a dream?
Right.
Well, I think... I'm sure that whoever put this together was like, hey, if it's a comatose dream, let's make her a vampire.
Right.
And
she's been in a coma for 20 years. She can do anything.
And also, it's almost, to me, it's like a cop-out when you can use the dream excuse to have anything that's unexplainable. Again, maybe I'm totally misunderstanding this. Apparently, enough critics and people liked it that it has a really high score on Rotten Tomatoes. I just didn't like it.
I don't want to be Switzerland, but I liked both films. But I liked Happily better. I could see myself
too.
Easily watching that again.
Happily
watching it again. Come True.
You know what I would like to come true for it to actually be about nightmares and be right. about nightmares.
I mean, I appreciated all the sleep clinic stuff. I thought, ooh, this is fun.
It had creepy setups, but no payoff. Like every scene with those creepy figures. Yes, the last scene was sort of creepy when they're all around them, but like it didn't go anywhere. Like it had such right. potential.
Like,
I felt like
see all those people get shredded.
I don't, or like, or some sort of.
Oh man,
sort of, or some sort of like, I don't know. It's just like these like really abstract type of horror movies. They get so abstract that like you're sitting here wondering. And again, I was trying to say this before, but I read two articles that were called "Come True Explained." And I didn't even understand the article. Like, even the article didn't make sense. And I was like, forget it.
Listen, you know, just, I felt like at that point you were just reading the encyclopedia to me.
I know. I was reading like, it aloud I'm to Tim. Out. And Tim's like, wait, what? Happily? Gun
you
room?
Know what? Just give me a man at the
hockey
Joel
McHale,
mask.
Penis? Yeah, I know. Right. No, it is true. So I would say this. If you're just like a paint by numbers horror person, which is kind of like Tim and I, like we love slasher movies, love just basic horror.
Steak and mashed
potatoes.
This
one is not going to be for you. If you are like Hereditary was the bare minimum, I wanted more of that like crazy visual abstract stuff.
Have at it.
Then have at it, because this is going to be your movie. Happily, again, at least it was enjoyable and it was kind of fun to see like real life of like couples that, not that real life, I mean, most couples I think are happy in some way, but just that people aren't perfect, I guess
well,
what I'm
oh,
trying to say.
I couldn't relate to the movie at all because I am perfect.
It is true. With Tim, it's tough because he's so perfect and just mm-hmm. everything
all
is
my
on
relationships
point.
Have been 100% successful.
Exactly why you're single right now.
What? That's not me. That's the coronavirus.
It's true because they made you single before.
Coronavirus.
I'm just
coronavirus.
Kidding. No. I think that everyone has problems with stuff, but I just think it was a more relatable movie. Unless you can relate to being a vampire in a coma while having nightmares at a sleep clinic.
Which I was like, finally, a movie about me.
You're like, finally, a movie that speaks to me. Like, no. So that's where I think we can end it, unless you have anything else, Tim.
You know, nothing much. Happy Valentine's Day.
You say that all the time. You said that the last time. Because you're gonna make people think we recorded this.
I know
we
totally
did not.
Did.
We literally recorded this episode.
What's
is coming
the next
out.
Holiday?
This episode only coming out in like 3 days or 4 days. The next holiday is
April Fool's Day.
So stop fooling everyone. Get it?
Oh, Amy Steele.
Amy Steele, and who was her boyfriend in it?
Ken Olent.
Oh, I knew you would get it.
He was from Leprechaun.
Now that is a great horror movie. Why don't they make him like that? I want that to come true. Get it, Tim?
Oh my gosh. Happily.
I was gonna say, oh my god. And with that, we'll say thank you for listening, everybody.
Have a great night.
Okay, bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Happy Horror Time.
This podcast is hosted by Tim Murdoch and myself, Matt Emmert. It's co-produced by Jacob Randall.
You can find Happy Horror Time on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, and many other platforms.
If you'd like to stay updated, please like and follow the Happy Horror Time podcast page on Facebook. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Happy Horror Time.
If you want to contact us, send us an email at happyhorrortime@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your movie recommendations or if you know any horror stars you'd like us to interview.
To support the podcast and gain access to our bonus episodes, please visit patreon.com/happyhorrortime and sign up to be a patron. We try to release at least one bonus episode per month and really appreciate your support.
I'm Tim Murdoch.
And I'm Matt Emmert.
And thanks again for listening to Happy Horror Time.